Hey, welcome everyone. This is Brother James. Welcome to everybody that is here with me, those that are listening online, and as always, those that will listen later when they catch up with this audio teaching in our fellowship gathering section at don'tperish.com. It's always a blessing to bring God's truth to you all today. As usual, I'd like to remind you, have a pen, paper, write down these verses. Go back and review them later. I'm hoping my voice holds out. I was out street preaching this weekend, and it's a little rough, but I think it'll hold together. My topic for today is, it's called David Danced, Explained. David Danced, Explained. You know, I just said we were street preaching. We were at a carnal, fleshly, new apostolic reformation. It's kind of like the Word of Faith movement on steroids. Totally heretical and occult. It was a music event. And at this event, they had a lot of carnality, a lot of flesh, a lot of running around, jumping around, yelling, dancing with all types of fleshly antics. And we went there to preach the gospel. I went there to call out the man that runs it. I actually got to rebuke him right to his face. It worked out great. And he put us on the internet. Lots of people got to see our website. So God used a mocker. It was awesome. But as I preached the gospel there, and I was reminding them that the biblical New Testament pattern of praising God was nothing like what they were doing, that they were offering something that was of man, rebellious, heretical, out of God's order for the New Testament body. Well, we had a whole bunch of them say, well, David danced. I'm sure you've heard this before. I hear it, I wouldn't say often, but I hear it enough. So I wanted to go over this topic to help us all rightly discern what these modern religious fleshly groups are doing in this dance worship way to their carnal, emotional, contemporary Christian music that is all over the place. Now, first, before I take you to the scripture that we're going to look at, if religious people today try to take you to David in the Old Testament and say, well, look at, he used instrumental music or he used dancing, I want you to remind them, if they look at themselves, their body, their leadership, whatever, they are not like the holy, obedient, God-fearing, Torah-keeping, Old Testament saints that they're referencing. Let's think about that. And at this particular event we were at, I had one of their security guys came up, and I had gospel signs, so he came up to talk to me. And this man was a totally tattooed, covered, immodest. He was wearing a muscle shirt. He had ear piercings. I think he had a nose piercing. He had worldly sports teams on. He was all adorned up. And he looked at me when I said, this is not of God. This is not an offering of God. You know what he said to me? Well, David danced. And I looked at him in love. And I said, sir, look at yourself. He was quite a sight to see. I wasn't judging him wrongly. I was trying to make an example. And I said, are you anything like the holy Torah saints in the Old Testament that were obeying 613 laws in full obedience to God? He kind of looked at me and he said, well, I see your point. And I said, listen, you cannot go into the Old Testament, the Torah law, and pick and choose what you want to follow. It doesn't work that way. We're not under Torah law today. That was for Israel. I have lots of teachings of that at the teaching blog at don'tperish.com. We're under the New Testament and some things from pre-Torah that we always talk about, like marriage, like how to dress, things like that. But if they compare themselves to the Torah people, they'll find how lacking they are and they'll see how foolish it is to pick one or two things out. So keep that in mind when people bring up David Dance. Now let's go to the scripture verse that they're referencing, 2 Samuel 6, and we're going to look at verses 14 and 15, and it says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. So let's look at the context of this. David, king of Israel, picked by God, is bringing up the ark of the covenant. So that's something to keep in mind here. He dances before God. Says it very clearly. So we're going to look at that. And I want to make a note here. We run into people that tell us, yeah, and he danced naked too. And you go and look at the scriptures, it doesn't say that. What it makes the reference to is that David was wearing an ephod, which was like a priestly garment. It would have been less clothing than his kingly garb with a big robe, but he was not naked. He would have been covered like a priest would have been covered. So I want to make sure that we all understand that in context. Don't let them tell you that David took all his clothes off and danced. That's an absolute twisting of scripture. So going back to David danced, and I want to talk about, let's look at some context. Remember, always study God's word in context. So we're in the Old Testament. David did it one time. All right? He danced one time that we know of. And all these false teachers and these Pentecostal groups have turned it into a common weekly or at all their conferences and their concerts, a common occurrence, and they've introduced it as part of their worship. And they use it to draw crowds, to fill pews, to sell music, to sell concert tickets. We saw them selling t-shirts and merchandising the Father's name. That's what they've turned it into. David did it one time, and they've turned it into a regular occurrence. So also keep that in mind. So I want to look at, let me see, I think I have 7 points. Yeah, 7, God's number. I have 7 points that I want to cover with you about this topic. So let's look at it. So we talked about a little bit. The context of David's dancing is not just some plain old regular day. The context of his dancing is the Ark of God is coming back to Jerusalem. This is the Ark that contains the law of God written with his own hand in stone. All right. So this makes this a very rare, special, holy, one-time event, not like your common, fleshly, so-called Sunday worship services or your concerts or your music revivals, nothing like that. This was a one-time event of that holy Ark of God, and I'm going to show you how holy this was in my points as we move on here. So that's the first point. It was a one-time act. Number two, David was the holy king of Israel, chosen by God himself. Wow, that's pretty nice credentials. He was not some modern, fleshly pew person sitting in a pew. He was not a carnal, modern, contemporary musician that we see all over the place, like when we went to that music fest. This makes David a very special man to God. He also had the Spirit of God upon him. He was writing scripture, right? Psalms and other things. It wasn't dwelling in him, but it was dwelling upon him at times, like with the prophets. And so he had a way to know what he should do, what he shouldn't do, and what was pleasing to God as the king of Israel. Right there, that makes it a very, very special occasion. All right. And in this section of scripture, David's wife was not happy about his act. So she had issues with it for whatever reasons. 2 Samuel 6:21. And David said unto Michal, his wife, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. So David kind of puts his wife in her place saying, hey, don't tell me what I should be doing. I was chosen by God to be king over his nation, over his people. In context, that's not these worldly musicians today. That's not the modern pastors. That's not the people in the pews or people that come to these concerts. Nothing like that. David was a holy, set apart, chosen king of Israel. Number three, David lived in a very different time than us today. He lived in the time of the Old Testament, of Torah law keeping, 613 rules given to the nation of Israel. And we see how David treated this ark, how special it was. Unlike the modern dancing, so-called worship, haphazard way they do it today for money selling, favor of man, emotional pleasing. Verse 13 of 2 Samuel 6 says this, "And it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed ox and fatlings." So here's David. This ark is being moved. It's a special event. It's holy before God. He's giving sacrifices of animals as this thing is moving. Again, special event, special occasion, different time, Old Testament setting, nothing like what's happening today with carnal musicians. They're not treating the event high and holy. They're not King David. They're acting out in this fleshly dance for hype, emotionalism, favor, money-making, merchandising. This has nothing to do with what went on with King David when he danced. Number 4, King David danced by himself. It was not all of Israel jumping around, men and women undulating in some fashion, acting out in the flesh as we see done today. We were just at that fleshly music festival. Young men, young women, older women, all bouncing, jumping around, undulating together next to each other. Body parts flying all over. Sorry, I got to say it. Acting out of order. That's nothing like what happened with David. David was a true, holy man of God. All right. Today we see worldly, corrupt, false teachers, heretical false teachers, fleshly people jumping around, acting out of order, claiming to give God this dance worship, which God never ordained for the New Testament body. We're going to prove that. It isn't even close to the same context of David, the king, dancing by himself. And we'll see how he danced in a second here. Point number 5. How did David dance, we have to ask? If we look at the word in Hebrew, karar, it means whirling. That's what it means, whirling. So we can assume that David was moving in some kind of circular fashion. And I believe because David was a man of God and had the Spirit upon him at times, he understood that things should be done in order. It wasn't all of Israel dancing out of control. It wasn't the men and women dancing together, as I said. It wasn't jumping up and down and undulating and uncontrolling lascivious fashion. No, didn't look like the drunks at rock concerts, which is what we saw when we went there. People moving around, acting all crazy, done in mixed groups. Women acting lewd, men acting out of control. No, it was David alone whirling, if you can imagine that. And we know that God is a God of order, not confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." So David knew this. And today's dancing is not that at all. We saw it. It's full of confusion, disorder, flesh. Had nothing to do with how David danced on that day. I would imagine that David's dancing was orderly, elegant, and peaceful according to the Spirit of God. So keep that in mind. And if you go look at my testing sometime at don'tperish.com, and you can go to the our witnessing videos and look up Sean Fuchs, "Let Us Worship." You can see, we did some video clips from far away. You can see the kind of disorder and fleshliness that went on there. Not of God. Number 6, David, King David, Holy King David, other than, yes, the adultery and murder that we all know about that he did, the Bible's clear, it doesn't hide it, he repented of it. He was cleansed and made new. He was a man after God's heart. 1 Samuel 13:14 says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart." David was a man that most always sought to please God. He was obedient. He was holy. He kept all of God's ways as best as he could, the Torah law. Today's denominational musicians and worldly dancers are not that. They're heretical. They're compromised. They're in harlot dress. They're carnal and fleshly. We saw them acting out in just plain wicked ways, oftentimes angry ways against us. And the dancing, oftentimes, will turn into body surfing, where they pass people over their heads. They're carrying people around, people acting out in trances and kundalini, slain in the spirit ways. Unbiblical tongues, we saw that in several occasions. We saw that in our day there. None of this is of God's ways and God's spirit. David would not have done any of these things in his one-time holy dance before the ark. Another point to consider, very different context than what's going on today in these so-called Christian concerts that look like rock concerts that I used to go to when I was a pagan. I know it well because I used to go to those things. Doesn't look much different. That's not becoming of my Heavenly Father. Point number 7. Could it also be that King David was fearful at this time, wanting to go out of his way to honor and please God all the more as this ark was being moved? Why do I say that? Well, let's look at what happened not long before all of this dance took place. Let's look what happened. 2 Samuel 6, verses 6 and 7. It says this, "And when they came to Nichon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God." Now think about this. God, not too much further in the past, before David danced, killed one of David's priests for touching the ark. That's serious stuff. This is a holy thing before a holy, holy, holy God. I believe David would have wanted to be extra careful how this ark was brought in to give God honor and praise. I know I would be fearful. Maybe that's a reason why we see David doing this dance this one time to honor God as this ark is coming back to the holy city of Jerusalem. So I give you those 7 points so that you ponder the contextual facts and see that David's dancing in the Old Testament, holy, set apart, ordered before a holy Ark of the Covenant under different circumstances, is nothing like today's fleshly, carnal, heretical, denominational, New Apostolic Reformation, occult groups that are gathering to do this fleshly offering that God never ordained. And let's go there. Let's talk about what God ordained. First, let's look in the Old Testament about dancing and its mention in the Old Testament. Let's look at Psalm 149:3. And it says, "Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp." Now, there's a few references of people in the Old Testament dancing to praise God. But you know what the truth is? In the entire Old Testament, there is 15 references of dancing, and only a few are references of dancing as worship of God. It has a very minor part. Other references are dancing of harlots to entice people, but only 15 times in the Old Testament word is dance used. But if we look at other words, let's look at the word praying. It's used 343 times in the Old Testament. Let's look at the word singing. It's used 160 times in the Old Testament. Dancing is only mentioned a couple of times out of those 15 as dancing unto God. And so even in the Old Testament, it wasn't that common. But I'm going to show you it's not part of the New Testament for a reason. And here's why. In the Old Testament, they had not the indwelling Holy Spirit. They were not the temple of the Holy Spirit like we are today. They had outside fleshly things. They had a temple building that was stone. They had to do circumcision on men. They had musical instruments because they were dead inside. They were killing sheep. All of these archetypes of what was to come. Now in the New Testament, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit when we place our faith and we repent. God gives us, we're born from above. He gives us a new heart, gives us a new mind. That's part of the gospel, right? And we're spirit-led. We're not led of the flesh anymore. Romans 8, go read the whole chapter. 8:1 says that we're not condemned if we walk in the Spirit. And Romans 8:8 says, if we walk in the flesh, we can't please God. So that dancing in the Old Testament was very fleshly. It was very outside. We don't see it as the pattern of the New Testament. And what are we in today? When somebody tells you David danced, ask them, well, what testament are we in today? We're in the new. We don't keep the old Torah ways any longer. We're to obey God's ways for the New Testament. And I use this verse all the time. Paul says, keep the traditions he's handed down in 2 Thess 2:15. And going all the way back to when the body of Christ first started in Acts 2, it says they dwelled together in the apostles' doctrines. That's what we have to do today. If we claim Jesus Christ and he's the truth, we have to dwell in the apostles' doctrines. Did they teach us to dance in the New Testament? No. You're going to see that that was not part of the New Testament model for his body. Now, I got to throw this in here so all my attackers and detractors have this. I'm not telling you that if you were by yourself in the New Testament and you were happy about what God has done and you wanted to do a twirl or do some kind of a dance, I'm not telling you it's sinful if that's something you felt led to do on your own. I'm not going to tell you that. What I'm going to tell you is that if you try to, as a pastor, a musician, as a so-called worship leader, if you try to turn it into dancing, a regular part of the gathered body, offering it as a worship of God, doing it on a regular basis to fleshly instrumental music that God didn't ordain for the New Testament, everybody's dancing together out of control, out of order, in fleshly ways, then it's rebellion and sin. So see the difference? It's something that's done alone and separate. That's between you and God. I'm not going to be the police over that. But we see when the body gathers, it's not something everybody partakes of. So we're keeping the model of the New Testament, not the Old Testament. To add to it, as 1 Samuel 15 says, is rebellion. That's like the sin of witchcraft. We don't want to be rebellious against God. We want to obey what the Father's ordained for us. This is the body that Christ died and bled for. It's his body. He owns it. We need to obey his word, not be doing our own ways. Now let's look at the New Testament as we finish this out. So how many times is the word dance used in the New Testament? If it's so important for God, and via the Holy Spirit and Paul and all of the apostles trained, what did they tell us? Well, the New Testament uses the word dance a whopping 5 times. And not one of those 5 times is it used for dancing to God. Let me give you an example. Mark 6:22. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it to thee. That's when they cut off John the Baptist's head. She used dance for lascivious purpose to seduce the king. 5 times in the New Testament, the word dance is used. Not once is it used for worship of God. If we're in the new, we're keeping the pattern of the new, we're walking in the Spirit, I don't see where there's a need for dancing in the so-called gathering of the body of saints. And I think this goes together perfectly here with our doctrinal teaching on no instruments in the New Testament body. Because when you sing with your heart and your lips and you have no instruments, no beat, no rhythm, I think it's pretty hard to dance to that. And so it works out perfectly. No dancing, no instrumental music, no driving drum beat, rhythm beat that they use. The real danger that I see, as we've been to several of these music festivals, we're planning on going doing more, is they use emotional, fleshly, instrumental, rhythm driving music. Boom, 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 like that. Like I was a pagan at rock concerts and country music. It alters your flesh. You start moving. You start undulating. It alters your mind and your mood. And then within that, They tell them they're worshiping God, which is a lie. It's not worship of God. Worship of God is you living your life every day, even when you gather with the saints, the way God tells you to do it, the way he ordained it. That's your reasonable service per Paul in Romans 12. Not doing it your way because you like it. That's worship, doing it God's way. And what they always do is they take this fleshly music and they whip them up into a frenzy, and then they do faulty altar calls. And we saw it this weekend. Everybody lines up, they play the music, and then the guy on the stage says, "Get ready! Do you want Jesus? Do you want Jesus?" And then he yells, "Come running at three!" And he yells, 1, 2, 3, and they all come running to the altar and jump on their knees and start crying and praying, supposedly moved by the Holy Spirit. Folks, the Holy Spirit doesn't move that way. Peter didn't bring out the harp music in Acts 2. He didn't do a countdown to the drop of the Holy Spirit. No, the call was repentance. Then God moved the Holy Spirit as he saw fit. This is a very dangerous, deceptive practice that Satan has brought in, and it creates false converts. They think they're following Jesus. It's fake Jesus. It's fake spirits. And Paul warns of that. We'll talk about that in a minute. So when you put all these facts together, and when you see what David did versus what's being done today, why David did it versus why they're doing it today, favor of man, selling things, it's foolishness to compare the Old Testament godly, holy, obedient King David, orderly, whirling or dancing alone once before the holy ark of God as a priest over it, basically, after God killed a priest over it to show how serious God is about what is holy to him, to compare that to the common denominational New Apostolic Reformation, Word of Faith, whatever groups you want to talk about, with their fleshly, carnal, out of order, undulating emotionalism that goes on as so-called worship at these false services led by worldly, carnal, tattooed, harlot-dressed, if I can say that about a man, musicians and women, selling the things of God, supposedly, on CDs, hats, t-shirts, concert tickets. When Jesus made a whip for those things in John 2, I preached that a lot at this music flesh fest. To compare those two is foolishness. It's like comparing apples and oranges. They are just not the same. If you are seeking truth and in the spirit, it's impossible to compare David's little dance with what's going on today. But if you're seeking to be fleshly, seeking to please people, to find favor, to fill up stands and pews and sell tickets and draw crowds, yeah, that's the route you're going to go, that fleshly, dancing, false way that we see today. Millionaire musicians playing to the youth and even middle-aged and older people, filling their flesh up, making them crave this carnal music that is like a drug, and they're reaping money, and they're reaping control and favor and popularity. I'll tell you what, I don't want to be these hireling musicians on Judgment Day, and I warn them when I go there, they better repent. They cause any of these little ones that may be God's to stumble, that millstone's going to be tight around their neck. You know, this is pretty telling. When Sister Debbie and I were there, I had several men tell me, as they tried to approve of this, and I used God's word to slice them apart with it so like they would come to repentance, they admitted to me, of these 5,000 people gathered together, that if it wasn't for the emotional music and the popular artists and the dancing and emotionalism that comes out of it, they know that the people wouldn't show up for it. I guess we find out what they're really worshiping, don't we? Enough said there. It's not God. It's not the word they're coming for. 85% of this show was fleshly music, and 10% was them money taking, whipping people to give up money, and 5% was an altar call, and there was no biblical teaching, no word of God going out, maybe one or two verses here and there. That's it, all bent for their own gain. I guess we know what they're worshiping. Fleshly, emotional, dancing, and music, that so-called worship. But a young saint said to me recently something. It's worship of worship. That's really what's going on there. Not worship of a one true holy God that we know in the scripture. So don't let people tell you that because holy King David danced one time, I'll say it again, alone with God before an ark in an orderly way, that they can do these modern contemporary fleshly music things as they see fit. It's out of context. It's going back to a Torah way that isn't even like Torah way. It's not ordained of God. It's of the flesh. It's not of the Spirit. And what I really offer to you is that these New Apostolic Reformation, that's these people really using this, like Jesus culture, Hillsong, they've entered, these false spirits have entered into the so-called church places, and I believe it's demons involved. We see laughter in these revivals, uncontrollable. We see false fleshly joy. We see twitching, people doing jerks where they twitch. We saw convulsions. We saw people in trances, and along with this dance mania going on. 2 Corinthians 11:4, Paul warns of a false Jesus, false gospel, and a false spirit. Yeah, they're not calling anyone to repentance, out of the world, to holiness, to sound doctrine. No, they're calling them to revival and dancing in this fleshly false way. It's not of God. I want to leave you with one last note. They'll tell you they dance because they have great joy in the Holy Spirit. I'm working on a teaching right now that's about joy, and it's going to show you what true, holy, biblical, spiritual joy is. It is not an outer, fleshly, wrangling, or physical expression, jumping up and down, acting wild, doing uncontrolled body motions, and dancing around. No, biblical, spirit-filled joy is something very different. That's just a teaser to my joy teaching that's coming up. This is a false joy. They've had revivals where everybody's laughing uncontrollably. This is of Satan. This is not of God. So I want to warn the saints, don't let anybody tell you that because David danced once, that they can be doing all of this false worship. I just showed you in scripture, it just doesn't line up. Rightly divide the word of God. Use good exegesis. Exit the truth. Don't use eisegesis. They're saying, I think it says this, and I want to make my way work because I like it. We must discount that. We must expose it. We must rebuke it for the saving of their soul. So I hope this teaching helps you to see David dancing explained. It's not what they say it was. It was holy, good, pure, and true before a holy God. What they're doing today is sinful, wicked, fleshly to a false Jesus. Well, thanks for listening. I would like you to go to the scriptures I used and test me to the word as always. Make sure what I'm saying is truthful. I don't have any truth. I'm just telling you what the word of God says as it's shown to me by the Spirit of God. So test me to the word at all times. Till we can come together again, I want to encourage you saints to lift up this glorious Savior. Look for his coming. The days are getting evil. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. We love you all. And as always, may God be praised.